Unpaved, Sean Salisbury here to bring an authentic, real stuff to you. Hardcore opinion.
Sean Salisbury, a great NFL analyst, a former NFL quarterback.
To me, Tom Brady is the GOAT because he's done more with less than any player at that position we've ever had.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us. It's Unpaved. Adam G. Sager on Twitter. I'm Sean Salisbury. It's Sean Unfiltered. Great to have you guys along today. As always, many questions to be asked and many answers to be given because we have all the answers, Sags. Great to be with you today. We've got a phenomenal show and it's going to be, I think, a fire one because we got some comments from a former player that if he'd have done something that he should have done, maybe his term or what he uses term to explain quarterbacks maybe would have sustained him a little bit better as well, needless to say. But I start here, and then Segs will get us through setting it up. We appreciate it. It is 2026 headed to an epic year, and it's epic right here on this show. Fans, I got to tell you, man, I got no compassion for you when you love the fans. Got no compassion for you when you're sending the messages of hope your wife dies, kill yourself, commit suicide, death threats, all the stuff that we've heard a million times over. Yes, fan fanatic, right? I get it. But the simple fact that you, like a Tyler Loop missing a field goal that cost Baltimore a game, it's never one play that comes down to the win or loss. It just never is. If they'd have done something earlier, maybe we wouldn't have been down to a field goal. If they would have got a stop on defense, all those things. I know when we see the final version that he missed it, he's the reason. Sure, he'd like, that's what he gets paid to do. All those things are obvious. And you can have your disdain, but at what point in time are we going to be done? Let me tell you something that's going to be, whether it's a revelation to you or whether you believe it or not, I'm just sure shit telling you it's a fact. Players don't care about the end result. Is they care, don't misunderstand me. They're not gonna belabor it and allow it to ruin their life like you do. I'm talking about the player who missed the kick. Can you imagine if every player reacted like the fans did, how screwed they'd be the rest of their career? Now, a lot of guys never recover from a bad kick or a bad pitch or a bad, a home run given up or striking out with the bases loaded and a chance to win a game, or throwing an interception when you had a guy wide open. It may stick with you, what you do. And it's okay to let that damn shit fester if you're a player. You're supposed to. I can't stand on the other side players that after you've done something stupid, got your ass kicked, and on the flight home, you're celebrating and drinking and playing cards. You got to get over it. But it's okay to let it fester and suffer for a while. You're supposed to. That's how you get over in the reminder that this shit sucked. We have mourning in everything we do. We lose a family member. We lose an animal. We change jobs. There's mourning, celebration after mourning. We celebrate the life, the mourning that you go through and the tough times. And then you got to get on with it. Just like the person that you lost or the job you would expect you to. So you got to get on with it. It's okay. We mourn for a while and it's okay for players to do that. But to get over that quick tells me the opposite, that you don't care enough. But the threats and the death threats over a missed field goal, there's 60, 70, 80 plays in a game. There's so many circumstances. But even then, the death threats, I don't get it. I just don't. You can love your team without being an asshole. I'm going to tell you this. I made a lot of mistakes in my career, playing career. Did some good things. But you know what? Those of you who may have bet a game 15 years ago, that's your problem, not mine. If you're dumb enough to bet on stuff that you're not good at it and you bet money and Tyler Loop misses a field goal and it costs you money, then you're a fucking idiot and you don't know how to bet. How's that? maybe you got to look into that. So I love the fans, but you fans that are death threat, and I think that 98% of fans are good. There's a small percentage of them that are assholes and do this to a player. Well, he makes it all. He shouldn't miss. Yeah, let me walk into your job where nobody's watching and mistake you made because you sent the wrong email. You didn't close out a sale. Somebody's standing over you. Well, that's just the reality of it, right? He's on TV or not. He's in a position to save or make you money. So if it's betting that's causing this, oh, well, be a better better. Does that make sense? Be a better bettor. So the gamblers or somebody, but you guys that are so into the sport that you can't get over it, that you motherfucking fighting in the parking lot, you're blaming a guy, sending death threats, hoping a family member dies. Do you realize the player, first of all, behind the scenes is laughing at you like you're a nut job? Now, if some of you are really, really taking it to a new level, I just block you and move on. But you're going to let it fester longer than the player does. And that's a good thing for the player. Why? Because if we went about it the same way that some of you dumbasses go about it, you'd never get over it ever, and he'd never be any good to you. Quarterback, running back, missed tackle, bad referee call, all those things that drive us crazy. But can we draw the line and follow most fans' leads where it's a bummer, it sucks for a week, you suffer over it. If you lost money on a bet, then you move on to the next one. You study the product better and make a better bet, or realize that this stuff happens in life. Nobody makes every kick. Nobody makes every throw. And not everybody can go to 7 or 10 Super Bowls. And even then, those guys, Tom Brady fumbled the ball midfield after throwing for 500 yards, and it cost him a game. But that wasn't the reason. He threw for 5 Bills and then fumbled on a great play by Philly, and they go on and win, and Foles plays well. So let's slow our roll on this. Now, you can do whatever you want, but you suffer more than the player does. Just so you know, all the shit you talked 6 months down the road, I still get guys, yeah, well, why weren't you? But some guy that's thumbing his nuts and sitting at home and playing around, and Pop Warner was his last ability to go do it, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. Telling me, oh, yeah, you sucked, you did this. Yet, I just don't know where I can evaluate their tape. And I'm sure Tyler Loop doesn't know where he can evaluate your kicking tape since you've never kicked in that moment, because he has a skill set that some of us don't have. Love the fandom. You paid for a ticket. Get after it. Be passionate. Criticize all you want. But death threats and wanting a mom or a kid or somebody else to die or get divorced, all those things. Are we really there? Are we really that big a troll? So we are, because it happens every year constantly. But can we stop it? Because I'm just going to tell you the harsh reality. You will suffer for it a lot longer than the player does. Most players are on the plane on the way home, like I said, and you're just dealing with it. Now, the next day you wake up and you're miserable and empty and it sucks and it should fester and Loop will go back to work, which is a good thing. But if he suffered and whined and complained and bitched and sent death threats the same way you do, then you can count on him to miss 15 more next year because he didn't get over it. We want players to get over it. Criticize and move on. Get out of the death threat business and the I hate you and want a family member to die business. Football, baseball, hoops, golf, it's not that serious. Even Tiger Woods missed a putt. Let it go and move on. That's what you ask your players. Segs, welcome in. I've never understood it, and I never will, but I've told you this before, that while it festers, I may have taken it hard, but the player 2 weeks from now, Tyler Loop's going to go back to work, and at some point in time, he's going to have to use that to his advantage, although it sucks in the short term, lack of gratification and the hurt that you're suffering for letting a team and fans down, and that's just the way it is when you're playing sports. You put your ass on the line every day to do it, and when you miss it, you get dogged, and when you make it, you're the king for a while until the next kick. But and it's okay to let it fester, but those are the growth parts where you got to get over it and move on, because it's not doing any good for 6 months down the road. You want to keep it there sitting on your shoulder, but at some point in time, you got to knock it off your shoulder and move on. So I just don't understand the long-term hate when a person makes a mistake at their job. We've all been cost money. I've cost teams games, and it's miserable because you got everybody else in your hands of like, I could have made that and we'd be moving on. But there's a lot of extenuating circumstances that go into one play that was led up to by 15, 60 other plays. So, and I'm like I said, I don't know him from Adam. I just know this, that if you applied it to your own life, you'd see that it doesn't make any sense. And the players, while letting it fester, have to get over it eventually. So you're going to suffer longer. And death threats aren't doing any good. I've just never understood the nut job fan that thinks that that matters that much. I just don't. But it is harsh when your kids have to see it. If you have kids, I don't know. I don't think he does. But anybody who has kids and death threats, hell, I received them at ESPN. honest to God, where the security had to get involved because they sent it through there and they saw it and they called me in the office saying, this is pretty serious. And they had to track it down because I picked against the team on the air. That's how nut jobs these idiots are.
People are idiots.
Literally, they called me in to the security department. HR was in there, security department, and my boss. They said, Sean, I guess I said, security, what's going on? First thing is my family okay, right?
Right, right.
Call me in. I say, well, what? Because they try to keep some of the stuff from some of the town. Because you would be amazed at the shit that you get. On the good side, people sending you stuff and gifts, and on the bad side of hating you. Well, this was a really deep-driven hatred. I didn't see it. They had it. So whether it was sent to ESPN, attention my name, or whatever, they had it. They walked me in and walked down. They would say, well, here's what we'd like to do with it. And I held it from my family. I was married at the time because, man, I had young kids. And you're thinking, are these people this crazy? And it was simply over something I said about a team on the air. There was just analysis. I'm like, they're nuts. But they got to the bottom of it, and they tracked the URL numbers, and they track whatever email, you know, they can track it. And they found it. And that happens probably 100,000 times. But that was just one case with me. And I mean, I'm going to bludgeon your family. I know where you live. And the fact that you picked me, I'm talking about, dude, it wasn't just one of those throwaway comments some idiot makes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, geez. And I didn't even go home and tell until after the fact because I didn't want to head on a swivel. I want your head on a swivel all the time. But I thought, are these people really this serious about this? And while I take my job and my career serious, bludgeoning your kids isn't part of my issue when it comes to my analysis or throwing an interception that may have cost you money on a Sunday game.
Yeah, I mean,
something, but that's nut job stuff, man. And you can't love the sport that much. None of us playing do. I can tell you that. We love it, but none of us playing do that. We're going to bludgeon somebody because we threw a pick or want somebody to bludgeon us. They're nuts. It's crazy. Yeah,
it's the legalization of sports gambling and you know, a certain amount of states has increased this a lot, like you talked about. But I mean, it's still, I mean, you know, I'm in a couple of group chats with just say Bears fans, and I mean, Bears don't play well, and it's like somebody just stabbed your mother in the chest right in front of you 150 times. And I'm like, guys, it's not that serious. Sports is supposed to be for your enjoyment. If your team
can be pissed, be
upset. Yeah.
Right.
Someone plays bad. Yeah. Of course you want them to play good. But yeah, taking it that far is just, yeah, there's a line. And people go way past it. That's,
oh, yeah. Well, they do, especially on social media, because they know you're not getting to them. But you know, I've yet to have a guy walk up to me in a bar or restaurant. Now, they may say something stupid, but I've yet to have a guy stand next to me and say, you know what, man, I'm thinking I'm going to bludgeon your family, and I'm going to try it. You better keep an eye on me, because see this night? I haven't had a guy sit next to me in a restaurant or bar ever say that, for obvious reasons. Yeah. Because then you're within my reach. There's a big difference for it to play within a player's reach. But boy, I'll tell you what, that courage gets real big. But some of the stuff, you know, is overboard, and I tell you, it's not that important. Your job's not, my job's not, unless you're a surgeon saving somebody's life, or military or first responder, or going into a tower that's been hit by a plane, then we can do it. But you're going in there to save lives, not bludgeon them, okay, as opposed to sports. If you love sports that much, God bless you as a passionate fan. But when you cross that line, that's more a you problem than a me problem. And I've just never understood it. I love sports, but they're not setting the standard for my life, and they're sure as shit never going to be my identity, nor is this job ever.
Right. 100%.
Nor should it.
100%. Yeah. All right, Sean, let's talk about the NFL MVP. This is a two-horse race. I mean, plain and simple, the betting odds say that it's Matt Stafford versus Drake May. According to MGM, the odds for the MVP, Matt Stafford -135, Drake May +105. And then their third guy is Trevor Lawrence at +30,000. So that just tells us this is a two-horse race. It's going to come down to these two guys. If you had to choose, who are you looking at? You got Drake May, the second-year player. They go 14-3, 72% completion percentage, throws for just under 4,400 yards. 31 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. I believe he also rushed for another 4 touchdowns. So, I mean, you're looking at 35 touchdowns total. But then you have Matthew Stafford, We all know who Matthew Stafford is and what he can do. Throws for over 4,700 yards, 46 touchdowns, the same amount of interceptions with 8, quarterback rating of 109. I mean, I think in the end, for me, I think it's obvious who the MVP is. But let me ask you, is it Matt Stafford or is it Drake May?
I don't think it's – I mean, I think to some, Segs, you and I may feel it's obvious, and I feel it's kind of obvious right now too. And I've that doesn't mean the other guy that does it good to win this hasn't had a phenomenal season and in another year puts it up next year, may be the MVP. Before I answer this, the question is, what do these voters, do you think, or the people that we're just, you know, it's just opinion. Everybody has one. You're not wrong if you think it's – hell, there's some that is going to think it's Josh Allen because what he's had to do to carry a team or Trevor Lawrence. Hell, there just is. I mean, there's going to be some of those guys that are out there. Hell, I could make an argument that Puka Nacua, without him, these guys ain't doing shit. I mean, I can – they are, but you get my point. So it's become a quarterback award unless the running back runs for 2,200 yards and 20 touchdowns or one of their receiver. But even then, Jefferson, when he had that big year, was not the MVP. I mean, you start to look. I mean, what? Derrick Henry. I don't think he won the MVP. The offensive player of the year, we've kind of created that so those guys can't. What do you hold more value in? Strength of schedule or winning a division, being a one or two seed and still putting up gaudy numbers? Or gaudier numbers, been in the league longer, probably have the best team in the league, but you didn't win your division and you play a much tougher schedule. That's the argument. And it's these two, and then the Lawrences and the Allens and whoever else you have in there will fall into place. For me, I don't go in. We could talk about schedule. If I said going in, did you think Baltimore was going to miss the playoffs this year? The answer is no.
Right?
By regardless of schedule, did you think the Texans were going to start 3-5 regardless of schedule? No. Or people played a strength of schedule or a weaker schedule? The bottom line, the record is what it is, and you play who you play, and you got to put numbers up either way. I get the argument for Drake May because I can make it. The numbers, leadership, hell of a team, first-year head coach in New England, a quarterback who's on the rise, accurate, tough. Schedule was much easier than the other guys who put up gaudy numbers, playing better football now in his mid heading into his late 30s than he did when he was 25 and he was playing really good football then. We just recognize it more because they win all the time. He's better now than he was 10 years ago. We've seen that with guys like Brady who, as he got older, hell, into his 40s. Warren Moon was playing great football at that age. It's Matthew Stafford. He's going to win the MVP. It's not going to be unanimous. Drake May's going to get some first place. So it's 50. Just so you guys know, there's a million MVP awards. The 50 voters are going to vote for this award. That's the main MVP. I'm going to put more credence into the fact that the schedule, the division, and the numbers. Now, if Stafford had thrown for 3,900 yards and 36, give me 3,900 yards and then the same amount of touchdowns and interceptions that Drake May has, and their schedule and their record is what it is, Segs, and you got what, the two seed is New England, right? Mm-hmm. New England's two seed in the AFC. And who they've played, but May's gaudy numbers, then I'm going to say, okay, I can make the argument because you still got to perform. Because in this league, we've watched the New Orleans Saints be shitty, and you say, well, when you play them, it's a bye week, and then turn around and watch Tyler Shook turn the franchise around and win games and be competitive. And I'll say it again, the difference between the best team in this league, whether you think it's Denver or whether you think it's Seattle, the difference in them and the Raiders – great quarterback play, two or three players, and 6 to 8 to 10 plays a game. That's it. I'm just telling you it is. If the Raiders had a great quarterback, add you keep Max Crosby, had another dominant receiver with that great tight end, the running back's really good, maybe another edge rusher or a great middle linebacker, and one out three or four players, and in 6 or 8 plays, you go back and watch. Now, they're bad, or the Jets, but they'd win 4 or 5 more games with that. They just would. Right now, we could be, if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle syndrome. They don't. But that's the difference. And now if you have 8 more good players and a coach like Sean McVay, God bless you, or Mike Rabel. But that's really, it's such a fine line. So I'm putting more credence into it. Numbers, who they played, how they did it, what they did, history. Drake May will have his moment. He's going to finish second. It's going to be closer than people think. Matt Stafford's the MVP of the league. And I'm not poo-pooing away or diminishing May because of the schedule. Hell, he doesn't set the schedule. He just plays it. And a lot of guys play shittier against bad teams. Why? Because they relax and get casual. Neither one of these guys did. Drake May deserves a lot of credit. I can do this. I can go Matthew Stafford MVP, Drake May Offensive Player of the Year, which we sometimes will give to a running back or a wide receiver. Listen, is May's season better than Jonathan Taylor's? Yes, it is. Is May's season better than Trevor Lawrence? Yes, it is. Now, I can also make the argument that the guy sitting third should be Myles Garrett, but their team sucked and he had no – if Myles Garrett was playing for the Rams, we got to have the same numbers. Shit, we got a hell of an argument for a defensive guy winning both the MVP and the defensive MVP, but he plays for a bad team. It's not going to happen. Both of these are playoff teams. I'm gonna give it to Stafford. And right now, judging from it, and they finished second, I think that the MVP of the league, you can argue either one. If you give me May, I'm not complaining. I'm not. I told you this 3 weeks ago. I can make the legitimate, but I believe Stafford's going to win the MVP. And if May doesn't win it, we may very well have to crown him the Offensive Player of the Year, because what he's done for New England is nothing short of fantastic. And I think that Drake May's got not only a good future, but a great one. There's one other argument to make. Who's got better people around him? And this is my biggest argument for Drake May. He's got less good personnel. When I talk about top-end personnel, with the Rams, you've got the best receiver in the league as far as possession and consistency every single week in Puka Nacua. They run it. They're well-coached. They're a legitimate player. We went in thinking the Rams were a Super Bowl-caliber team. We went in thinking New England's probably a year or two away with a new coach, even though he's been in the league, of winning their division. They not only won their division, they kicked people's ass along the way. I got zero problem with Drake May winning. I believe Stafford's going to win it. But if you're taking into consideration personnel around you, as far as name and the personnel, there's no doubt that Drake May's done more with less than Stafford has.
Yeah, and to me, I feel like that's got to be part of the discussion when you talk about that. But then the same people that say like, oh, you know, look at May's receiving core, look at Matthew Stafford's receiving core with the Rams, are also the ones that say, yeah, but the schedule, you know, you can't change the schedule. Well, Matt Stafford, you know, can't change it. It's not like he's going to just trade away Puka Nacua. So I think, yeah, if you're going to argue one, you got to argue the other. And I think the schedule to me is where you're playing in arguably the best division in football with the 49ers and the Seahawks in there, Seahawks being the one seed. 49ers were fighting for that division. So were the Rams. And it's just something that there's a lot of factors into this. I just think Matt Stafford in the end, you know, you put up what, over 4,700 yards, 46 touchdowns. And yeah, you had the best receiver in football, but let's also remember Matt Stafford is one of the reasons Puka Nacua is the best receiver in football.
Because it goes both ways. It's a two-way street, right?
Yes. He is the one that, you know, he's fitting that ball in that tight window to Puka that can make some tremendous catches. But there's a lot of quarterbacks that wouldn't make the throws that Matt Stafford makes. And, I mean, I just think in the end, you know, yeah, would I like to see Drake May win the MVP? Sure. This second year of quarterbacks, the second-year quarterback group, has shown out and been really, really good with Caleb, Bo Nix, Drake May. The other ones we can have a discussion about, but those three in particular are, you know, top two seeds in their conferences right now. Three of the four top two seeds are second-year quarterbacks. So, yeah, I'd like to see Drake May get that notoriety, but in the end, Matt Stafford's had the better year, and, you know, he deserves the MVP in my
right. opinion. He did. He's got – listen. And Isaiah makes a good point. If receivers are the only reason a guy's good, then like having stud receiver, I can go through it. Then he makes a good point. Then why isn't Jalen Hurts the MVP every year? He's got two really good ones and good tight end room. Listen, it all feeds each other. Good receivers
right.
with a bad quarterback don't get paid like they want to get paid. Great quarterbacks with guys who can't separate and get open end up becoming good. Not great. So there's an argument for both. And anybody trying to say, oh, you're out, you know, people are out of their mind for thinking Drake May should be in this talk. Well, you're wrong because he should be. And your opinion's okay. the 50 voters, and we may not even agree with the 50 voters when it comes out, it may be either closer or bigger distance. I believe they're going to vote for Matt Stafford. And it's more, I saw a comment up there, it's more than a lifetime achievement award. But, and I get that we do that to people. Matt Stafford's thrown for almost 5,000 yards and 40-plus touchdowns on a team that many of us feel, I know they lost a couple close games, is as good as there is in this league. And I think I still don't think we give enough credit to New England for how good they are, even though the schedule says, well, they play better, they play outdoors more. It's colder weather, which isn't. And Stafford plays in the greatest place in the world when it comes to great weather. And yep, if you can dome it up, all those things. So there is something to be said for that. And we watched a guy in Josh Allen take his game to another level in an outdoor facility and manning up and doing his thing. Drake May's done a lot of that for New England this year. Like, not with his legs as much, but underrated legs, and he can do it. So there's an argument for both. Numbers similar. Stafford's team, and I don't know, if they meet in the Super Bowl, it'll be a fun argument. Say, well, let's decide it here.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of factors that go into it. It's just with the 50 voters, where do they weigh heavily? But I am, this isn't fencing. I'm just telling you, I think it's close enough that I can, that if Drake May wins it and people are going haywire crazy, I can sit here in any debate with any of the guys on TV and tell you why Drake May won it. Yeah. And legitimate. And if he doesn't win it, I can tell you that it's not going to be, we like Matt Stafford more than Drake May. It's going to simply be, look at the numbers. They bear it out. Puka Nacua and everybody else is better because of Matt Stafford. And then that'd be like saying, if we just say it's the quarterback or the receivers, that's like saying the only reason Brady was any good is because Bill Belichick was his coach, which is horseshit, or vice versa. It kind of works in, exactly, you know, together. So I think it's Stafford, Drake May, and then there's two or three guys. And if Drake May does not win the MVP, he should be, even though Nacua's had a great year, even though there's been some guys that have been running backs and have great, Cook and Jonathan Taylor,
McCaffrey.
The truth of the matter is the offensive player, the MVP and the offensive player of the year are in this picture on this screen right now. That's who it should be. One, two, either way. Pick them how you like it.
Well, a former NFL quarterback, a former MVP, talked about one of the quarterbacks in that graphic that we just had up, and that's Drake May. He called him a game manager. That's Cam Newton, who's been out, and he's been talking a lot on his podcast. And when he gets on ESPN or wherever the hell he gets on, I don't know if it's Fox Sports, whatever it is. But let's show the video.
Doesn't it go on ESPN?
I think it's ESPN. Yeah, yeah. Let's show the video of what exactly Cam Newton had to say about some of the quarterbacks we're going to see in this NFL playoffs.
Game manager.
Josh Allen.
Game changer.
Drake May.
Game manager.
Trevor Lawrence.
Manager.
Aaron Rodgers.
Game manager.
CJ Stroud.
Game manager.
Justin Herbert.
Game manager.
Matthew Stafford.
Game changer for sure.
Sam Darnold.
Game manager.
Caleb Williams.
Manager.
Jalen Hurts.
Game manager.
Bryce Young.
Game manager.
Jordan Love.
Game manager.
Brock Purdy.
This gonna hurt a lot of people's feelings, but it's
game manager.
First of all, that's a tough listen. Just him screaming at us, like, listen, holy shit.
It's a segment I don't care to watch. Okay, let me explain to you something, which Cam Newton doesn't quite understand in this. Now, I will preface this and not need it. The guy is one of the most freaky players we've ever had at the position. No doubt.
Yeah.
Game changer. But you know why he didn't win a Super Bowl? Because he wasn't a good enough game manager. That's why. Let me say that again up close and personal. For a guy, number one, I have great respect for. Now, the TV stuff, he's doing what all the TV new dudes get on TV. You're creating banter with stuff that I'm not even sure all the time he believes, even though he's extremely smart. He knows football, he's opinionated, and he knows entertainment, and he's damn good at it on TV. Now you can argue the segment, but he does get people to say, do what we're doing. We react, and he gets that, and it's a good thing. And he was a hell of a talent, MVP in the league. His Super Bowl performance was something that he'd like back, I'm quite sure. But great player, phenomenal. He is not a Hall of Famer, but he is a great talent, and he was a game changer. But the reason Cam Newton, one of the reasons, there's more than one, it's not just on the quarterback, and I say this with great respect, wish I was as good as him. He would have won a Super Bowl if he was a better game manager. I talk to coordinators all the time, and one who is a huge difference maker in sports as a coach. And I said, what do you say when somebody says quarterback's a game manager? And he said, it's the highest compliment I could pay my quarterback. The greatest game manager in the hit. Now, you can be both. You can manage and be that game changer like Mahomes that can fall off schedule and make a throw. And there's that it factor. See, game changer and it factor, Josh Allen has it. Some may not, but you can still win without having that, oh my gosh, he's the greatest skill set on the planet. He said, it's the greatest compliment I can pay a quarterback. And we get this negative connotation that game manager means, well, when I hear game manager, I hear, oh, doesn't have a strong arm, can't move, everything's a check down.
He's carrying Brad, to win.
Right, right. That's does Brad Johnson have a Super Bowl?
Of it. Yes, he does.
Brad Johnson has a Super Bowl, right? He threw for over 4,000 yards 1 year, but he was on a team that needed somebody to take care of the football and make plays when necessary, and he did. A game changer? Yeah, you can be a game changer. Guys, everybody's done that in a game, but the game changer is the more flashy, carry a team on your back. Like he calls Aaron Rodgers a game manager now, which he is. Aaron Rodgers was a great game manager and a great game changer when he was in Green Bay, winning Super Bowls, when they had 10, 11 people hurt and went on and won a Super Bowl as a wild card. You could be both. But the greatest game manager in the history of this game, top two, well, let me go through about four or five of them. The guy that wore number 12 in New England is the best game manager in the history of this game. The guy who won number 18 in New England, I mean, in Indianapolis and in Denver, mm-hmm. top game manager. Drew Brees, great game manager. Who am I thinking? Jalen Hurts would have been the MVP in two Super Bowls had they won the first one. Great game manager and also made huge plays when they were there. Is that game manager or game changer? It was a game changer on two plays when he hits guys deep for touchdowns, but managed the game, didn't turn it over, knew what his defense was about. Being a game manager is understanding the situation of the game and not being a dumbass and throwing it to the other team because you think that you're a game changer and you force a square peg into a round hole and try to be a hero. But some of them don't have the ability to do what Cam Newton could, but some of them had the great ability to understand their weakness. And had Cam Newton been a better game manager, more accurate with the football, Cam Newton may have been to more than one Super Bowl, because I'll tell you what, he could carry a team for 6 weeks.
Right.
But game managers carry a team for a season. And all those guys that he named game managers, good players. I think Jordan Love is a game manager, but I think Jordan Love's got some ability to be a game changer.
Yeah.
The question is a sustained game changer every single week. Caleb Williams right now is not a great game manager.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah.
He's not at all. And that may prevent them from going to win a Super Bowl. Now, he is a difference-making game friggin' changer.
Right.
The problem is when it's the simple, boring play that you got to make, sometimes he doesn't make it, which snatches some of that stuff away and puts your team in a bind and costs you game. So I get what Cam's saying, and he can label them all. But I don't look, and neither did the guy I'm talking to, who everybody would know and respect, said it's the highest compliment you can play a quarterback. Because what? Third and seven, you throw in a five-yard check down, guy runs for three first down. It's not spectacular. It's boring, but we win. But the ability to do it. So for Cam, had Cam been a better game manager, I don't know, maybe Cam's still playing. I don't know. But we're talking about freak show talent, game changer. Cam Newton's, he's in the team picture. So people look at it as negative because he's not 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", 230, how we always. But you know what? You can be 6 foot or be Brock Purdy or be one of these other guys and be great at it. Who's another? Patrick Mahomes, well, a game changer. They play sideways football as much as anybody. He's been a great game manager for years. Guess what he didn't do well, and they don't have the guys to do it right now. He didn't manage the game very well these last couple, right. this last year. And guess what happened? They're under 500. But it's not just him, personnel, all that comes into play. So this is not negative from my vantage point. For others, it is. Cam Newton probably could have taken a page out of some game managers, guys, stuff, that wish they had Cam's skill set, got good football IQ, understands the game. Game manager is a compliment, not a negative. And anybody that thinks different doesn't know what they're talking about when it comes to just approaching game. And I don't even know if he thinks it's negative, but the tone of the tenor of his voice made me think like he thinks it, yes. So, but I know this, if I'm coaching a team, give me a spectacular guy who makes the plays once in a while and give me a game manager who makes those plays all the time, I'm going to beat you more than the game changer is, because the game changer is inconsistent. The game manager is a guy who understands the situation you are in at the moment. And that's exactly what game managers do. And then when the big play has to be made, Mahomes, Josh Allen, that's where the game changer separates you from the rest of the pack.
100%. Couldn't, you know, that's everybody, every sports fan needs to listen to what you just said there when it comes to that, because you're right. It's such a negative connotation about this, and people throw it out there as a dig at a guy when in reality, I want that quarterback that it's third and four and my coach is called, you know, some sort of pass play, and he sees the defense set up and he says, you know what? It's not about me. I think we can run this, you know, run the ball with this guy and pick up 5 yards. He does it, changes the play, flips it to the run. They pick up 5 yards, get the first down, keep the drive going. I don't need my quarterback to be a game changer every single time. That's changing the game.
That's Heroes
the
game, also
picking that up with, yeah, with the run instead of you having to use your arm.
Segs, if you rely on the hero play all the time, you're going to end up being the heel half the time.
Yeah.
You don't, your careers aren't sustained on spectacular. Careers are sustained on boring, simple plays. I'm going to tell you another thing. And this is, I don't care what anybody says. If coaches are being honest, and I've talked to a lot of them over the course of my career, because I've played for a lot of them and I've covered a lot of them the last 30 years. This isn't hyperbolic, because you know, on this show, I never say something I don't believe ever. If I took 32 head coaches from Dan Campbell to Kyle Shanahan to Jim and John Harbaugh to Mike Tomlin to Bill Belichick when he was into Andy Reid and Sean McVay, and I stuck them in a room and we're having a beer, sitting around and talking, I say, okay, guys, game manager or spectacular game changer once in a while to get where you want to go. They're all going to first say, I want both, Sean. Well, of course you do. Yeah. I want Randy Moss too. Okay, fastest, jumps the highest, runs the route, catches, finishes, and scores. The talent mixed in with goes over the middle, works outside the numbers to stop. Yeah, if we get that guy, great. Joe Montana wasn't spectacular. Joe Montana was a fucking game manager who got it to the right guy all the time. You know what they'd all say after they said, I want Bull Sean, and we laugh? There's not one that walks out of the room and says, give me the game. When we say game changer, that's kind of misleading, because you think, well, in order to change the game, you got to manage the game. So there, it's really, now if you want to say spectacular, that kind of fits into the game changer. If you are a great game manager, you are going to be a game changer and your team's going to love you. There's not one head coach out of the 32, and throw 32 offensive coordinators in there, that, what do they all go to when they want to be trusted? The guy who manages it gets them home safely. And there is no other answer. There's a lot of spectacular players that were game changers but couldn't manage a game. Their asses, still in age where they could be playing, are sitting on the sidelines watching like you and I are, because they don't know how to manage it, whether it's football, the seeing the coverage, all that. And there's guys that probably are far less talented that are still in the league and get paid. Why? Because they know how to manage a game, period. Simple. The Houston Texans are in the playoffs right now because Davis Mills for three games is a backup. You're like, now, if they lose those games, two of them, six, they're not in. They win three. And you know what Davis Mills did those three games? Made some necessary throws, managed it properly, and what? Saved them three games, helped them with that great defense, manage it, understand the situation, turn it back over to C.J. Stroud. Now they're a Super Bowl threat. Without him managing the game, they lose two of those three. The one they were down 30 or whatever it was, 23, come back and manage it. Just keep getting me first downs. And then the other game changer doesn't get the damn ball in his hand because I kept it for 9 fucking minutes.
Yep.
This is not even a debate. Game manager, always. I can't say always in sports, always or never. Game manager is going to beat you more than the spectacular one is.
100%. All right, let's move on to something else we've been talking a lot about. A couple topics we've been talking a lot about. The transfer portal in college football. It's got like over 4,000 kids in it. It's insane right now. And your USC Trojans, who football, basketball, whatever, nothing's been good recently for you to talk about and say, you know, yeah, you know, my university's doing something. Houston Longstreet, the 5-star kid from last year that committed, went there, played behind Jaden Maiava, is now considering the transfer portal because Jaden Maiava re-signed, quote unquote, with the USC Trojans.
Re-signed, Segs. It's like, yeah, free agency baseball. You mean, yeah, exactly. He's still going to stay on scholarship and is staying, yeah, at USC? Unbelievable. We got to call it re-signed because it's pro, right, sports now.
And he's coming off a really good year at USC where, yes, you know, he made a lot of big time throws, a guy that could use a little more game manager in him and to be able to lead that.
Like not premeditating decisions in a bowl game. That's exactly it. But he's a gifted kid and a good player.
But losing Longstreet in this type of situation is the new norm in college football. Auburn gets a new coach. Aaron Nolan, the five-star, also quarterback from last year. He's doesn't think he's going to get to play because they're bringing Byron Brown in, and they're going to pay Byron Brown to come to Auburn to play. So Aaron Nolan leaves to go somewhere where he thinks he can start right away. And that's all it is for these kids. They want to get paid and they want to start, especially at the quarterback position. Well, Longstreet is.
And you put it in the right place, Sigs. They want to get paid first before they start.
100%.
That's the problem. Yeah.
And Longstreet probably wants to get paid. He wants to go somewhere where they'll pay him $1 to $2, maybe $3 million. And they'll give him a shot at starting as a true sophomore because he's hopeful that two seasons of starting, he's still young. He's 21 or whatever it would be. Now he's applying for the NFL draft. Now he's going to go in and be a first or second round pick, get that contract started so he can get the massive contract next. So disappointing, obviously, to lose Longstreet. But I think everybody's got to understand this is the new college football. This is where recruiting, USC, perfect example, has the number one recruiting class this year. How many of those kids will be here at this time next year? There's a chance that half that class is gone because other teams are looking at them saying, hey, look at Trojans aren't playing you.
Yep.
We'll give you $500,000. Come here and you get a shot to start right away. So it's just the new college football. Yeah. And this sucks for USC to lose him. But re-signing Jaden Maiava is that's
how your star. And he was a Heisman candidate part of the season. Yeah. He's a good player. And they had the number one offense for much of the season. He deserves to be the starter right now. He earned it. And his play says you're the starter and to get paid in this new landscape. There's a couple of layers to this. One is, folks, the transfer portal, the way it's run sucks. And some of these kids are going to get left with no place to go. They're going to have to go down a division or two to play. They just are. I'll get to Longstreet in a second. The portal as it sets up sucks. I know we'll get to Texas Tech's quarterback because they got money. They're spending it. I don't have a hard time. These kids deserve to be paid, the ones that have earned it. Now, I don't know if a 16-year-old that's a sophomore in high school who thinks he wants to get paid should be making more money than the starting quarterback at the university when he's 2 years later when he's recruited. That's something that drives me nuts. But I can say, boy, do I wish as a number one recruit when I was coming out, we'd have had NIL. That would have been fun playing in L.A. and making that kind of money. It would have been great. Didn't have reality. Things change. You got to adapt and adjust. But I don't ever believe that the quarterback I'm recruiting now in the NFL, I get it. But a high school kid who hasn't played, who's going to be a freshman or a transfer, it's hard for me to understand that the guy I'm coaching in college is making more than the guy who's coaching him. It's really weird. Now, listen, if you were Mendoza doing what you did and came back for, you had another year and came back, I can understand what saying, well, it's like the pros. Stafford makes more than Sean McVay. You know, I get that, but we're talking about pro and college. We're still trying to crowbar amateurism into it. We're not an amateur sport anymore. Neither is college sports, basketball, football, none of them. So with that, the transfer portal is good. In the case of Longstreet, I get it. You're good enough to start for 50 Division I schools. You're backing up a guy who's really good, and you don't see any movement other than an injury, and you don't want to wish that on the guy that you're in the quarterback room every day.
Right.
I almost transferred after my freshman year. I was the backup, the backup to John Mazur, and they said they were going to keep it open in the spring. I said, well, do I transfer now to go back to transfer to BYU to throw and be the starter, go there, be ready to go and sprint, boom. And I said, no, I'm going to stick this out. I'm going to see what happens in the spring. I won the job in the spring and the rest was history. But the point is if you don't feel that there's a path to get an opportunity to compete for the – that's my biggest problem. If you're not getting an opportunity to compete, up and go. I train a couple quarterbacks that are in the portal now that haven't got an opportunity to compete and they want to go play. I don't know where they're going to play, but they should. I get it. Six transfers and, you know, four transfers in 5 years just because you're getting beat out. If you had a chance and you left it on the table, that's a you fucking problem. And if you get beat out and you want to transfer, fine. Transfer's good if it works to the – it's an injury, a coaching change. You aren't going to get a shot to compete. I get it. It's the kid's life. But – and it bums me out, and I understand if I was Longstreet looking at this, I would strongly consider doing what he's doing, even as a Trojan, wanting him there. And I'm telling you, Segs, I've watched him play some of his stuff in high school and then some of his stuff in college. he can start for a lot of schools, and he is a different. His feet are phenomenal. And I'm telling you, he can play. He's just sitting behind a guy who can play too. So I get it. It bums me out because now you got to go find somebody else. What we do in college sports, Sigs, you recruit them, you train them, and somebody else gets to reap the rewards of you training them when you enter the portal, and now you're more experienced, and boom, you go get your thing. I understand why the players are going for more money. Some of them are never going to play on Sundays, but they're getting a lot of good college money. And lastly, when it comes to I don't want to lose my train of thought with the portal and the money. It'll come back to me, but I get it, and I get why they're paid, but the transfer situation, even when it affects my team and you're going to lose a good player, there's always going to be another four-star, five-star. There's always going to be another player who's a three-star that elevates. But you train them to go and play for somebody else, and they leave, and those are the rewards. And, oh, here's what I was going to say. SC, number one recruiting class. Nobody cares about that anymore. It's all hyperbolic, and it's all optics. You want to know why? Now, if you say we're the number one transfer portal team,
yep.
Different story. That's where the rankings go. And I know we've discussed this a little bit, but now we say, what are we judging? Are you the number one portal team? Ole Miss was a big portal team last year. Look where they're at with the veterans who somebody else trained, and you get to reap the rewards from it. It's the same thing. So, you know what? To me, that's what it all comes down to. Number one 10 years ago in the recruiting class, yeah, that was something. Number one now in the portal class is your priority, and they're making it a priority. Number one in the recruiting class looks good, but 30, if you recruited 20 of them, half of them won't be playing for you in 3 years.
Yeah.
That's the way the statistics are playing.
And I think part of it that bugs me too is fans, you know, college, especially college, like you look at a team and you say, well, I'll use the example that I was just going to use, Texas, Oklahoma. If you were a Texas Longhorn and you went into the transfer portal back in the day, there was no shot you were going to Oklahoma because you hated Oklahoma. It was your rival. Parker Livingstone, the wide receiver, I'm pretty sure he was Arch Manning's roommate, had a couple big catches. He goes into the portal after the loss. He just committed to Oklahoma. I mean, back then, that
was you hated during the rivalry.
Yes. Yeah. Like, and that's where part of this is just, it's become so much about money. And there's no, I don't want to use the word loyalty because that's not the right word, but you know, it's just, it doesn't have that feel anymore of, you know, there's a couple still, you know, Michigan, Ohio State. That's still a rivalry where there's a lot of hate. And between the fans, there's hate of Texas, Oklahoma, or Auburn, Alabama, or whatever it is. But the players used to have that. When you played at Michigan, you hated Ohio State and vice versa. Now it's not like that, and we see it too much.
It's blasphemous, Siggs. You're exactly right. I was thinking about me coming out of school and when I was at SC. Even though I got recruited and took a recruiting trip and loved Terry Donahue at UCLA, I could have never transferred there unless I hated everybody at USC. And had I transferred there, you had to sit out 2 years if you transferred in conference back then. Sat out 2 years and become a student and forgot how to damn well play football. And they transfer outside, it was 1 year. But it would have been just blasphemous because I know what we went through and the hatred for the for their school. And it's a loving hatred, but it's a hatred they're in. Texas, Oklahoma, it feels blasphemous. But if the money's big, you're like, oh, I can overcome that now. I'm good. I'll find a way to love Oklahoma, even though I went to Texas and the Red River shootout and all that stuff. Sakes, here's another thing about this transfer portal that I would encourage kids to jump into it. I'm not even just referring to Longstreet. I'm referring to any player, let alone quarterback. Are you willing? You tell me you want to play. You're a backup, but you got game. How many quarterback jobs do you think are available in the Power 4 schools? Not many. They'll transfer, but there's not a lot, Segs. You know what I'm saying? They may transfer. You get a chance to compete. But are you willing? You tell me you want to play. Are you willing? Is your ego enough to be willing to leave a Power 4 school where you're not starting? And you tell me it's all about competition. I want to play. And as a backup, you're probably not getting $5 million of NIL. You may get some money. But what's more important, the money and sit in a Power 5 or Power 4 now. You go to another Power 4 school, and they get a guy in the portal, or they get another guy that's a sophomore that was a five-star recruit that beat you out. Are you willing to accept that? You may not get the run that you think that your evaluation tells you that you were over-evaluated and without practicing or playing in games, should I say, that you're not as valuable to me because you're not experienced. They want experience. Are you willing to go to South Dakota State from Georgia? Or are you willing to go to Memphis from Alabama, a mid-major? Are you willing to go play some with San Diego State instead of BYU? Because, well, I was a five-star and they recruited me 2 years ago, but I don't have experience. Are you willing to go be the starter at a lesser division in your mind, or a division down, or an FCS school? Or is it about the ego? Oh, I'm going to transfer there. They gave me $100,000, even though I'm not going to play. So don't pee in my face and tell me it's raining. I'm going to I want to go somewhere I can play. What if that's Division II, but you throw for 5,000 yards? The NFL will find you.
Yes.
But you know who won't find you anymore unless you're doing it right? Colleges. You're a three-star, four-star guy that 15 years ago, you'd have been playing at 15 different schools. Now, somebody says, yeah, we want to offer you. Is it a real offer? Is it a legitimate offer? And when you transfer, do they hold you in the same regard? The three-star sometimes gets left out and has to go play NAIA or Division III. Are you willing in the transfer portal to go, even if it's not big NIL money, and go a division down to get your starting position and have an opportunity to show people what you can do? Are you still living off your sophomore year at modern day high school? You tell me.
Yeah.
Longstreet can play, though. I'm referring to him. I'd stand in line for him. The kid can play. And if I'm him, I understand the competition of why you'd leave. But where are you willing to go to be the guy?
Yeah, someone is going to get a really good quarterback if
does
indeed hit the portal. All right, real fast, last one here. Philip Rivers is being talked about as getting some head coaching discussion in the NFL. Now, we know he was a coach in Alabama before coming back and playing the final four games or whatever it was for the Colts this season. Is this just crazy talk to you? Do you feel like, we saw Jeff Saturday jump in, guys that don't have a lot of coaching experience. They didn't work their way up like a Vrabel or, you know, a lot of these guys, D'Amico Ryans, a lot of these guys that are coaching right now that were former players. Do you like this, that Philip Rivers may get an interview or two or three or maybe even four of these teams?
Well, should Matt Ryan get a run at general manager for the Falcons, or head of president of football ops at Atlanta?
I'm right there with you.
Okay, so what's the difference? One, president of football ops, you're making all the decisions. You're telling the coach what we need to do. Here's how I feel about this. One, we get sucked in, whether it's Jeff Saturday. The NBA does it all the time. Steve Nash, Jason Kidd, they go, even if they're a bench coach. Some aren't even. They go right from playing, and 2 years later, they were sitting there, boom, broadcaster, now he's the head coach. I get it. Some are successful, some aren't. We can't lump everybody into because Jeff Saturday didn't, and maybe the second time around, if Saturday goes and is an assistant offensive line coach, 3 years from now, he's the head coach. He's got that football IQ, as we heard when playing with Manning as well. He was like a coach on the field. In Philip Rivers' case, Sage, when he was playing, somebody asked me about him years ago. I said, that dude's got coach written all over him. I didn't say what level coach written while he was playing. Mm-hmm. So we can't say because one guy failed that we can't give another guy a chance. Here's the way I look at it. Let me interview him and look him into his eyes. Does he have enough football IQ? Yes. Does he understand football? Yes. Is he a great leader? Of course he was as a player. But normally the grind is how you gain experience, and that's what our first thought is, got to go to the grind. The only reason I'm saying this about Philip Rivers, I think he's built a little different. I do think he can coach at this level. Now, does that mean, I don't know, Josh McCown was being mentioned, and he hadn't even coached other than high school like Philip Rivers for the Texans job. Now, McCown's in, you know, as an assistant coach, is he going to get a head coach? Maybe, because he's going through it and he's got the demeanor and he's smart, like a catcher, backup quarterbacks in the league that sometimes start, had to study a little more because they didn't get the reps. So he had to do double time to understand the game plan. Trust me, I know, I've been there. Philip Rivers feels like he had the, you know what Philip Rivers, I always looked at him like, had the work ethic and the mentality, should I say. I always tell quarterbacks, train like a backup, play like a starter. Meaning, when as a backup, you're training to get your shot. And when you get there to keep it, you better play well. Simple. Same as a coach. So I don't know. Some are built different. Does everybody have to go through the grind of coaching Division I, NFL? You're a guy that's an analyst for Nick Saban, and then all of a sudden you go, and then the next step is you go, and now you're the receivers coach, got elevated to coordinator. I don't know. But is Philip Rivers worth an interview? You're absolutely right, he is. Atlanta Falcons, if you're Matt Ryan, is he worth an interview? You hear him on broadcasting. He's probably had conversations. Arthur Blank probably loves him. All those things. And you say, you know what? he's different. He doesn't have to have been a success in as a GM or assistant GM for 10 years before I promote him. Every guy, that's why I don't put them all into one box. I don't know if Phillip Rivers can coach for shit. We didn't think he could play either, and he made a couple completions. He just couldn't do as much as he used to. So I would interview him if you like him and you think he's got it, and let me put him on the board. Show me your plan. What are you going to do for our team? Let's say he's the coach in Arizona. What are you going to do? Not as an offensive coach. That's the key here. Can you coach a team, not offense? And that's the difference in a head coach. You've got to be able to manage tasks and you lead people. There's one thing I know about Phillip Rivers. He knows how to lead people. People rally around him. The whole key, that's the small shit, the minutia, the stuff that we overlook that we want to cut corners on, managing those small tasks that a head coach has to do that are the difference making. The guy who cuts corners on the small tasks will get fired. Great, bad leaders, when we expose them as a leader and they go out and they're just not good leaders, they'll get fired. Leadership I don't know if it's learned or in your DNA or both, but Phillip Rivers has it. Can he handle the minutia, the small tasks that go with somebody not living up to their expectations or him, you know, expecting more from his quarterback? Interview him and find out. And the only way we ever know if John Gruden was going to be a good coach is Sean McVay, even though they went through the process of being an assistant, different. But I don't know. Could Sean McVay have been doing this at 26? Maybe. Yeah. But he went through a different process. It's worth interviewing Matt Ryan. It's worth interviewing Phillip Rivers. It'd be worth interviewing Patrick Mahomes because he's seen it all. If he was out of football and wanted to be a coach, is it usually the normal way? Yeah, but millionaires don't get to be millionaires. Entrepreneurs didn't do it. They didn't go through any training. They got started and got moving forward, got kicked in the teeth. So I don't know. You want to take the risk? Is it a risky proposition to be a head coach? Sure it is. But is it a risky proposition if I was a head coach and I hired Phillip Rivers from his Alabama high school to coach my offense? I don't think it's that risky. He knows more football than 80% of the guys that are going to coach him. He's been in the battle. I don't know. I don't know if it warrants a coaching job, but what's the problem with interviewing him or anybody else? So there's the risk you take, Sags, and there's a risk in all of it.
You said something that kind of reminded me of something that kind of pissed me off yesterday. Kind of, if I was a Falcons fan, would be pissed off. So we've heard about the rumblings of Matt Ryan becoming president of football ops. Well, I think it was Tom Pelissero comes out on NFL Network and says, oh, by the way, Matt Ryan's hoping to still do his job at CBS. If I'm a Falcons fan, no. What the fuck you mean? You're not going to go do that job. Like, this is a job that needs 100% of your attention. And the fact that you want to keep doing CBS, then kick rocks. I don't care that you were a Falcons quarterback that went to the Super Bowl that, you know, is maybe the best quarterback in our history of our team. No, you want to keep doing that? Well, then see ya. You're not going to be president of football ops.
Yeah, Sags, you're so right. Let me tell you something. Even my buddy, Doug Gottlieb, gave up the broadcast. He thought he could do both. Hell, you do both because you want to double dip on the money. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if it's Green Bay, Wisconsin, Green Bay, or if it's Michigan. It doesn't matter how people perceive. Listen, I would give as much effort to coaching an NAIA school as I would coaching Alabama. Now, the pub's a little different. The money's going to be different. The eyes on you are going to be different. But why would I give half an effort to coach when I'm trying to move up or trying to win? I give the same amount of effort and preparation and detail as if I was coaching a national championship team in Division I or an NFL team than I would if I was coaching a high school team. You don't give any more effort than that or attention. And I thought it was going to be a tough task for Doug to do both. It's easier money to do broadcasting. It is. Yeah. It's easier. You prepare, you read, you see other people's stuff, and you get to comment on what they did. Now everybody gets to comment on what you did. And Doug, right, smartly realized, in order to immerse myself in everything I want to do for Wisconsin Green Bay, I got to do this full time. It's hard. And if Matt Ryan said that or what have you, let me tell you something. I immediately am off him then.
Yep.
And I would think that Matt Ryan knows better. You can't on Sunday be doing that. First off, where everybody's bitching about Tom Brady broadcasting and being an owner, you're not going to bitch about what favoritism you'd be playing if you're sitting on the set. Not only that, you can't be traveling. You've got to be traveling to your own team's game. You got to evaluate every day. You got to be going to college games, pro personnel, college personnel. You got to do it all. That would tell me you're only half in and you're doing it for the wrong reasons. If you're not immersing yourself totally into that job or any job, regardless of the level of it, then you're a fraud. I don't think Matt Ryan's a fraud. And if I was CBS, I wouldn't want it. Now you want the insight, man, there's a pro personnel, but are you getting the real stuff that you'd get? And if I'm the Atlanta Falcons, the second you mention, can I do both? That's the second I say the interview's over. I'm going to get a guy who's one-sided, and that's for the Atlanta fucking Falcons. And if you're not, then I don't want you, whether you're Matt Ryan or Joe Sixpack or Harry Hatchetass. Sorry. Hell, the good Lord himself, I love you, walks in the room, and he's as ubiquitous as he is now, and everybody, be hard for now. I might hire him.
He would be able to.
Answering somebody else's prayers. But very few humans can be a doctor and a lawyer at the same time.
Right.
Unless you want the guy to operate on the wrong knee and then and try your wrong case. Pick one. And both are important jobs, but I got news for you. It's a lot easier to go on the Sunday set, even though all that preparation, than it is to do 7 days a week full-time job as the president of football ops at the Atlanta Falcons. That's a big job. It requires all your time outside of family. Sorry, you can't do both. And if you do, you can expect the Atlanta Falcons to still be mid, as the kids say.
Yes, I know you're up on the hip lingo.
I'm big in the community with that.
Yeah,
you know,
big in the community.
Just don't be mid, Sags. You feel me?
Yeah. Okay. Sure. All right. In the show, as we always do, bet of the day.
How many days are you going to bring my? I'm losing track.
I mean,
here's how the week's gone. Here's how the week's gone, you prick.
Hey.
You told me we were going to get beat. You were joking, but you told me we were going to get beat even though you wanted them to win. We were going to get beat by TCU, and we did. And I was in the building, and it sucked. Then you told me your Michigan team was going to kick my team's ass in basketball, and they did. But you didn't think it was going to be by 70 or 30. No. Was, and they got their ass kicked. Then I told you yesterday that, man, if you got any pride at all, and that Musselman's a good coach, you get your ass kicked, you come back and play the next team a little better, right? Well, Michigan State beats them into the ground, and now you're telling me Longstreet's going to transfer. What else do you want to talk about my Trojans, dude? And that later, Riley Jennifer, who are we going to hire as our defensive coordinator? So what else you got for me? So we can lose?
We'll be back tomorrow when Lincoln Riley hires some soft ass defensive coordinator.
Matt Eberflus. Thanks, dude.
Hey, I know that fucking pain of Matt Eberflus.
Yeah.
Gosh, if he's the DC at USC, Sean, just quit. Become a fan of another team because.
Well, I talked it into reality. If this happens, I quit. Okay, I'm done.
Oh, good Lord.
What were you going to say? Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Just SC got their ass kicked again by Michigan State.
Of course.
I took the minus 10.5, and I won some money last night. I didn't bet the over because I kind of forgot. Like, I just put in the points, and I was doing something and never bet the over. Because remember, I was strong on the over, and it didn't come close because USC's offense was atrocious last night watching that game. They couldn't do anything well. And that's a team that
here I thought it was going to be 160-170 points in the game, but USC couldn't knock down anything, and they got curb stomped.
Yeah, Musselman needs to start beating some good teams. He beats up on some crappy teams, gets a lot of wins, but he's not beating anybody good consistently. And I mean, it's going to come to a point there where SC can get the players, they can get the talent, but he's not coaching them up right now.
Right. And he is a good coach, but you want the big win coach, right? And you almost feel like he's a James Franklin guy, right? Is that what you're saying, Sigs?
Yeah.
Kind of. And I know he's a good coach, and I'm a fan. And I like having him at SC, but you see those two scores right there. Those two teams that beat SC, and we were 25 when this started. We were 24 against Michigan, out of it now, and rightfully so. Both of those teams are going to be playing when we get to the Sweet 16, more than likely.
Yeah.
There's a really good chance. USC's not, but still. If you're the 24th ranked team going into Michigan, into the state of Michigan, and get curb stomped, what's the total? It's 30 in one game and 29 in the other, 59 points in two nights in 3 days. That ain't any good because those are the type of teams you face in the tournament. For the 24th ranked team in the country going into the Michigan trip, highly overrated because we're not beating good teams, and that's not a good thing.
Great game tonight. You got 14th ranked Texas Tech, Christian Anderson, JT Toppin. That team is really, really good.
Toppin's a beast too. Yeah.
Going to Houston to face Flemings and Sharp. And this is going to be a great game. Houston's a 6.5-point favorite. 143.5 is the over under. I normally would say take the over, but with these two defenses, I think you got to take the under. And I would probably just stick the under because Texas Tech they can go in anywhere and win games. I think
I was watching him play over the weekend.
Yeah, Christian Anderson.
Watched him play over the weekend.
Great.
Really good player.
Guard.
No doubt.
This is going to be a.
And you know, guard play drives everything in college basketball. Six guard play is so important. I wouldn't touch. And you know my affinity for Coach Sampson. I would not touch the points in this. The point I'm talking about the spread, but I'm taking the under because they will. Both teams are going to do it. And Kelvin Sampson's as good as anybody in the country at making sure his players contest everything. They will contest and make it. If you watch the Kentucky game over the weekend, you watched. Every show. Who'd Kentucky play on Saturday, Siggs?
Was it?
I'm trying to remember
Alabama.
Who they were playing. Was it Bama? Maybe it was Bama. But every shot felt like it was contested. I think it was. Wasn't it Bama? It was, right, Siggs? Right. So, I mean, every single shot, I think. But you watch, and that's a Houston lives by that theme.
Yeah,
Texas Tech will get after. There you go. So you got it. You can't give certain teams open looks, and that's a strength of Houston. They'll get a lot of shots. This is the game in the 60s in my mind, Siggs. Maybe somebody gets to 70. I would bet the under and will bet the under. I wouldn't touch the spread.
Yeah, it would be fun. We're starting to get into that where we're in conference play now for college basketball. So you're going to get a lot of good matchups here as we come through.
Jared, kiss my ass, and I mean that affectionately. He said, so USC is still a beach volleyball school, respectfully. We'll kick your ass at beach volleyball.
I heard they're
not wanting part of that.
Transferring.
Probably. Because
Santa
he was.
Barbara or
well, I'd say outside hitter, but that's indoor volleyball, not beach volleyball. So, yeah, just what we need is our identity to be our beach volleyball team. It's okay. We live out there, but.
Is it?
And they're really good at it, but I think we need to change it. Jared, screw you, but you're right.
Are you guys a men's or a women's dominant volleyball school?
We'll dominate both of those.
Okay.
You know, we'll dominate both of those, but if that's our identity, we got a lot of work to do right now. Yeah. I assure you. I don't think we're paying out a ton of NIL money to beach volleyball.
Hey, it's
you never know.
Could be paying,
but it's scholarship. There's a lot of scholarships out there for Sags. You know, we're giving scholarships away at my gig. You know, fishing, we talk about fishing scholarships, but I'm getting a lot of soccer because I love soccer and evaluate these kids. But you'd be amazed at how many sports, flag football, women's flag football. One of your kids out there, folks, contact me. One of your kids out there is going to get a full ride or a lot of money playing flag football in college for women. Watch.
Yep.
It's happening. They're already giving scholarships away. It is happening now.
Area.
All the stuff we laughed about, flag football, really, somebody's going to be sitting there just like gamers. We used to laugh at them, and they're making millions, and they're getting scholarships, and that's what they're going to school for, the very stuff that used to drive you crazy. Get off that game. Now play the game as often you can and program them and be a billionaire. So, flag football scholarships for you gals out there, and it'll happen for guys too, is starting to run rampant. It's made wrestling for women. There are so, and women versus women. I emphasize that. Women playing against women is where I'm talking about, but scholarships everywhere. So, yeah, beach volleyball is your gig. Hell, I could probably find you a place to play. SC. What?
Yeah,
good. There you go.
Dominant.
Just ask Jared. Screw you, Jared.
It's all right.
There you go.
Maybe you could be like a Quidditch school or something. I don't even know what that is.
Really?
Harry Potter or something.
It's Harry Potter Quidditch.
But I've heard of it. Quidditch. I think they play with brooms or something. That's USC's next national championship.
Brooms. We just got swept in Michigan. That's the only broom that's working any favors for us, and it was no favor. It was an ass. Matter of fact, they broke the broomstick on our ass, spanking us as bad as they did in those two games with Michigan and Michigan State.
I don't want to get too far and keep going, but this whole belt to ass thing where everybody's taking off belts and Michael Irvin's hitting coolers and stuff. All right, it's enough.
No,
we don't need more of this. Like.
A simple hand will do.
Yeah.
Depending on if you're doing it affectionately or if you're doing it.
I mean, no, that's a whole different thing.
That's right.
In the presence of your own bedroom or hotel room.
What you do behind closed doors with that is have at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike, I can't wait till we give wiffle ball scholarships available. If there is, I'll evaluate them. I'm good.
Oh, I could have dominated in wiffle ball. Now my arm would fall off after two throws.
But now you can just throw the knuckler. You don't even need rubber arm sags. You don't need to throw cheese. Just you don't need to throw off the case. I actually just throw that up there and wiffle it in, man.
Yeah.
A lot of movement. A lot of move. I bet you Maddox is a great wiffle ball player.
Oh, yeah.
I bet he is.
Oh, for sure. 100%. All right. That'll do it for today. Please like and subscribe to the YouTube channel at Unpaved Sean Salisbury. You can follow him at Sean Unfiltered, me at Adam G. Sager. Thanks to Triple E, Laura Bailey, as always, making our show look and sound great. Thanks to all of our viewers and listeners. We'll be back tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk about Cliff Kingsbury not returning to be Jaden Daniels' offensive coordinator next year. They also fired
that Joe. Deserved more time. That's the only reason we didn't talk about it today. That's
yes,
exactly right.
We'll, you know, get that going early on in the show tomorrow. We'll just talk about coaching changes and where we think guys are lining up. We're starting to hear some whispers already. We've got a lot of coaches being requested to interview by all these teams with openings, and the transfer portal is just beginning. So I'm sure we'll have more stories about that. We'll be back tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central. We'll talk to you guys later. Peace.
Unpaved Sean Salisbury here for bringing authentic, real stuff to you. Hardcore opinion.
Sean Salisbury, a great NFL analyst, a former NFL quarterback.